Genesis chapter 3 would be the Old Testament. Yeah. Revelation, take a left. Right over there by the book of Index. That's what I love about Brother Paul. He's not ashamed to ask the important questions. Where is Genesis? In the Bible, yes, right between those two black covers. Amen. Amen. You laugh, but when I first got saved, I couldn't have found John 3:16 in under 30 seconds if I had to. Amen. I still have trouble with Nahum and Habakkuk. They hide in there. Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at some things here today. I know we've been in and out of Genesis, studying chapter 1, chapter 2, talking about the fact that the devil loves to attack the book of Genesis. He loves to attack it because it's a good place to start your faith. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You can believe that. I believe it. And man comes up with a better answer. Maybe I'll change my mind, but the best answer is God did this. Amen. God created everything. And then you get over to chapter 2, and we can see how he created everything in 6 days. And I love it because, you know, people say, you believe God actually created everything in 7 days. No, I believe he done it in six, amen. I believe he could have done it in one, but to give us a little more chance to wrap our mind around, I think he spread it out in six, amen. Then he laid it out in a pattern of 7 days because he liked seven. And it's just good stuff. But we look at Genesis chapter number 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden." So when we look at verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." And we look at that word subtle and we think cunning, crafty, tricky. But that subtle has a lot more of a definition than that. It means expert. He's an expert at. He's an expert at tricking people. He's an expert at deceiving. And it's not just a tricky, cunning thing. It's a fact that he's expert with his words, expert with his wording. And that's what he did with Eve. He said, "Yea, hath God said." So the first thing he did was had her question what God said. He said, "Did God say?" Well, as a born-again believer, to the best of your ability, by studying and rightly dividing and praying and meditating on the book, you ought to know what God said. Amen. You might not know everything about the Bible. Only God and the devil knows that. God knows everything about it. The devil knows more than you ever will or I ever will, and he'll mess with you. But the thing is, you ought to know what God says, so when the serpent comes, the serpent doesn't show up as a snake now. The serpent shows up in people, lost and saved. Amen. Lost and saved. You don't tell me God doesn't save people and the devil doesn't still use them. I've been saved too long to know that. Amen. But the thing is that he shows up as people, and the people oftentimes are trying to get you to doubt God's word. I mean, it's all over. It's interesting because now it's not just lost or saved. It's preachers, pastors. They want you to doubt God's word because they want to be the authority. I don't think it's a conscious decision. They get up in the morning and think, "I want to overthrow God and I want to be your authority." I think subconsciously, I think that they have begun, through their pride, have come to a place where they think they can correct God's word and they think they can tell you what it means, and they're special if they can show you something nobody else can show you. And you have to get way outside of reality to show something God's never shown somebody else. Amen. I'm not saying he won't speak to you personally in a way he won't speak to me through the word. But I'm just saying they're coming up with this new doctrine, these new beliefs, these new ideas, and they're against the old traditional, what I would call Baptistic beliefs and Baptistic doctrines. I'm not talking about tradition. I'm talking about what's believed out of the Word of God. Traditionally, we believe this, but it's not just tradition. Traditionally, we believe in the virgin birth. That's not just tradition. We have Scripture for that. Traditionally, we believe in the second coming. That's not just tradition. We have Scripture for that. Traditionally, we believe that second coming is going to be a literal physical reign on this earth after the rapture. We have Scripture for that. Traditionally, we believe in the rapture. We have Scripture for that. Like I say, you can call it the elevator to heaven if you want, but I know the word rapture is not in the Bible. I know that, I understand that, but the catching away, it talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Paul's talking about it. Paul's looking for it. Paul's looking forward to it. Paul's saved. Paul's not a Jew or Gentile because he's in Christ, and he's looking forward to a rapture. He's not looking forward to a tribulation. Traditionally, we believe the church is raptured out before the tribulation period, and we have Scripture for that. We don't just believe it because, Pope Jack Hiles or Pope whoever said it, or we don't pick a pope and say they tell us what to think. Amen. But we get men of God that study and rightly divide, and we learn from them, and we learn from prayer and studying the Bible, and we believe the Word of God. Amen. And by the grace of God, I mean, if God takes all my neurons before I go and I don't believe anything else, I hope I still believe that book. I don't want to lose that. And the serpent comes along and he says, "Yea, hath God said." Then we run into a problem with Eve. Well, actually, the problem's with Adam, too. "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So he says, God said this, and he questions the woman. And if Adam and Eve, maybe daily, if they were meditating on what God had said, the devil wouldn't have been able to trick the woman. But look at her response. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may not eat of the fruit, or we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." God never told Adam not to touch it. It's a good idea to stay away from sin and not touch it. But he never told Adam, don't touch it. She didn't know exactly what God said. And since she didn't know exactly what God said, the devil was able to trick her and deceive her. But, as we'll see in a minute, she had to make a conscious choice to be deceived. Amen. "But ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She had no idea. She really didn't know the exact wording that God gave. And that's another thing about doubting the Word of God. Like I talked to these guys a couple weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, and they don't believe there's a hell. There are preachers out there preaching there is no hell. There are pastors in Baptist churches preaching there is no hell. There are women Baptist preachers preaching there is no hell. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Why is it? Because if you get people to doubt the Word of God, then you can just tell them what the Word of God really means. Instead of a personal relationship and a personal speaking back and forth between Him and God. God's not going to talk to you if you don't believe that book. You read it, He's going to quit talking to you. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, you got to get faith from the Word of God. And then it says, with that, the Word wasn't profitable because it wasn't mixed with faith. Talking about Hebrews. When you pick that book up, I don't want to be the one that's responsible for you not believing it. I believe this book. I believe every word in it. I believe every comma, every question mark, everything in this book. I believe the verse markings were inspired. I think I could prove that mathematically. But I don't need to prove it. You take it by faith. You can believe what you want. I've heard saved Bible-believing preachers say, those verse markings aren't inspired. God did a terrible job if He did inspire it. Well, good night, man. You just look at the fact that Psalm 119 has 176 verses. You take 16 times 11, KJV 1611. 16 times 11 is 176. Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. The whole thing. There's just so many things in there that I'm like, there's no way that's an accident. Now, I could say, looking at the way man teaches English or whatever, you could say, well, according to man's rules, that just doesn't look right. Well, how about the fact that, when this book was written, it looked right? We've changed. God hasn't. God hasn't changed. I mean, if anything, He's become more merciful, if that's possible. But she didn't know exactly what God said, and she added to it. She said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. The serpent said, wow, she really don't know exactly what God says. So I'm going to tell her this. So first of all, when she said those words, she had to have some doubt in her mind, or she would have quoted them exactly. Amen? You ever tried to quote a scripture, you know it, and then you want to quote it, and it's gone? Or you ever come up to somebody, and then God gives you a verse you forgot you even knew? That's the amazing part. It's like, good night, but how would you know it if it never was in there to start with? Right? You might have read it 20 years ago. You might have memorized it as a child, and God might bring it back when you're 70 years old and use it for His glory. But you ought to know what the Word of God says. You ought to be reading it, studying it. But she didn't. She added to it, and the devil says, oh, man, this is perfect. She doesn't know what God said. And then he says, I'll tell you what, you shall not surely die. It's not what God really meant. There's not really a hell. It's annihilation. Sure, you'll just burn for a little while, all that stuff. But if you realize the beast and the false prophet were there for 1,000 years before the devil got there, and you realize the Bible says, well, the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not, that worm's the soul of a lost person that never dies. It just continually is in torment. Continual damnation, continual judgment. So when she says that, he says, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know. Then he said, not only shall you not die, let me give you the real motives of God. This is what the devil says. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that's partially true. He didn't want them to know evil. He didn't want them to know evil. But he's saying, in his pride, he's saying, God just doesn't want you to be a god. So if you could be a god. I mean, you could be a Mormon. Amen? They get to be gods. No, not really. But you could be a god. But that's what the devil does to people. You know what he does to people? He says, you can be your own god. You can be your own authority. That preacher don't know what he's talking about. I don't care if every Baptist preacher in 9 counties believes that. You don't have to believe that. You can be your own authority. You just do what you think. You read it and you got this out of it. I don't care if it, hey, that's yours. You can be your own authority. Okay, that's dangerous stuff. You think it don't happen to me? I'm reading through there and I see something like, wow, I never seen that before. And God goes, yeah, hang on now. Read all the context and make sure you're right about this. Make sure we're going the right direction. And okay, maybe that doesn't mean what I thought it meant. You ever done that? Ever read the Bible and thought it meant one thing and reread it and thought, maybe I was wrong on that. So, that happens. It happens because we're fallible. It happens because the devil will mess with you. It happens because he'll get down beside you when you pray sometimes. It happens because he'll get down there and whisper in your ear when you're reading the Bible. He'll mess with you. But you're looking at this fact that the woman didn't know exactly what God said. She misquoted what God said. The devil said, nah, that's not what he said. He said, you're not going to really die. This is what he really meant. It wasn't about you dying or living. He just doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want the competition. Well, God's not going to have any competition. There's no competition. I mean, the devil's the closest competition he's got. He's no competition. But we're no match for the devil. You know? And when the woman saw, look, this is where it really gets, the rubber meets the road for us. And when this woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Okay, so it's good for food. And let me put these in order here. Make one wise. All pleasant to the eye. So she says it's pleasant to the eyes, it's good for food, and to make one wise. So, and so good for food, pleasant to the eyes, there's lust of the eye. Good for food, the lust of the flesh. What's the flesh? The flesh wants stuff to make it stronger. There's the food. And to make one wise, pride of life. Remember the three things that he warns against? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. The devil hits her with all three of those in Genesis chapter number 3. She's the weaker vessel. You know Adam probably could overcome that? Adam probably could have said, you know what? Adam probably could have said, yeah, that's tempting. You know what? I've walked with God ever since he created me, and I'm not going to do that. But he didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. And Eve's the weaker vessel. Why is she the weaker vessel? Well, first of all, she come out of Adam to be under his authority ultimately, which is under the authority of the Lord, Adam's supposed to be. But she didn't have the exact relationship that Adam had with the Lord. It was a little bit, I'm not saying that a woman can't have a better relationship with the Lord than a man. It shouldn't be that way. But Adam had a better relationship because Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground, breathing through his nostrils, breath of life, man became a living soul. God spoke to him, and then he gave Eve to him. So she was in a situation where she was weaker, and the devil went to her and said, hey, you know what? Pleasant to the eyes. Good for food. What's it going to hurt? I mean, it's going to help you out. Just good food, man. Make you wise. This is where it usually gets people right here. And the devil will come along and say, man, that looks good. That would make your flesh feel good. And here, you deserve it. You deserve it. Just like David did when he was king. I mean, the best king this world ever had besides Jesus Christ, David. When he should have been at war, he's out on his housetop and he's watching a woman down the way. And then he's warned that she belongs to somebody else. And David said, well, I don't care. I'm the king. The king should have it. He said, well, that's terrible. It is, but that's what every time somebody makes a decision to sin, they do that. I'm the king. I should make the decision. Every single one of us has made this decision based off this right here. Based off of that. You notice all these things are negative. Two negatives make a positive. We've got three negatives. That's all negative. Amen. But the pride of life is what actually got her. And the devil hit her with everything. He hit the weakest person he could hit. That's what he does to churches too. That's why I say read your Bible and pray. If you're the weakest person in the church, the devil's going to be able to use you more than he'll be able to use anybody else. If you're the strongest person in the church spiritually, God will be able to use you more than anybody else. But what we want is unity and all to be strong so God can use us all. This is not, you know, a grade school slumber party here. We're in battle. And we're not trying to, you know, have a happy, me feel good, make me wise, pride of life church. We're trying to have a church full of soldiers, amen. Some soldiers are praying, some soldiers are out on the front lines, some soldiers are doing different things, but everybody's trying to focus on Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to come in and divide. You notice he didn't get Eve when she was with Adam. A lot of times he won't get you here, he'll get you at home. And when he gets you at home, then you come to church and everything's the person down the aisle. Oh, the person down the aisle. Good night, can you believe that? It's that person down the aisle. Well, people get bored, and when you get bored and you're built for battle, when you get bored, you got to battle something. You'll battle the wrong thing. If you're not focused right, you'll battle the wrong thing. I mean, if you've been married over 10 minutes, right? You know that if you guys are busy and you guys are focused and you guys are, especially if you're focused on serving the Lord, everything seems to flow better. I mean, we always going to get on each other's nerves because we're human. But if you get bored, you start picking on each other. Bill's trying not to, amen. Because he knows he's picking on Linda. Amen. Intentionally. He said, I got a list. I'm going to pick on her all day. No, but I mean, that's what we do. We get bored and we get off focus and you got this energy. And we're built to fight, man. We're built for battle. We're not built to just sit around and do nothing. We're built to work. We're built to battle. And if you're not battling something, old preacher down south, he grew this great big church. I can't remember who it was, which preacher it was. But I think it was Carl Lackey, if I remember right. He said, how do you keep this church together? You guys have been together for so long and it hadn't been a church split. You had very little people leave. He goes, I tell them about the battle inside so they don't bite and devour and battle each other outside so they don't bite and devour each other inside. And that's the truth. If you're not battling the battle that God wants you to battle, you're going to find a battle. You say, well, men are built to battle. Oh, women are too. Good night. If you've been married over 10 minutes, man, you know women. Amen. Amen. Give me an amen. Amen. Paul ain't saying nothing. Paul said, I plead the fifth. Everything I say will be used against me. Amen. Just smile and nod, God. Don't say a word. Amen. Victoria says, if Mac was here, I wouldn't say that. But I'm going, amen, amen. No, but the thing is, that's what we do. We're not made to sit around and be dormant, just do nothing. We've got this energy, and this energy is going to go somewhere. It's going to go somewhere. It's misdirected energy is usually what causes the problem. And it's almost always connected to these three, but it's always connected to this one. Yeah, sister? We're living in Sodom right now. Absolutely. 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 It is craziness. You're right. And I believe that too. And that's the same thing with Israel. When Israel was struggling, they were doing better. When they had all the blessings, they started to worship the blessings. And that's what happened in the United States of America. They're worshiping the blessings. You got people running around and says there is no God, and they're living in the blessings of God. And they've got so many blessings, they don't, in their mind, need God. That's why the Bible says, Jesus Christ himself said it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than the rich man enter into heaven. They've got all the blessings, they start worshiping the blessings, and that's what they were doing in Sodom. And the wickedness comes with that. I mean, the extreme wickedness, the abomination comes with that, brother. Be careful now, we've been talking about husband and wife. All right. Okay, good. I do. I believe that. Because he's the type of the Christ and she's the type of the church. I believe that because what she did was partake of sin. So Adam decided to partake of sin to not lose his wife. So Jesus Christ decided, remember what the Bible says, he became sin for us. It doesn't say he just took our sin debt. He became sin for us. And sin was nailed to that cross. When it says sin was nailed to that cross, he became the embodiment of your sin, and your sin was nailed to that cross through the nails that held Jesus Christ. He became sin for us. He became sin for his wife. But Adam, the first Adam, fell for the wrong reason. The second Adam did it out of mercy and grace and love. Sister? Well, if you don't get anything else out of today's study or lesson, get this. God used you to confirm something for me today just by that statement, because I've been struggling all week. I've had like three different messages, and I'm like, hey, I can't get a full message anywhere. And I hate it when this happens, but I know the Lord knows better. But I got a message yesterday, and I thought, man, it's like now. I got up to like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and I still didn't know which message I was supposed to preach. So this morning, he's kind of putting it together, and hopefully it'll be his instead of mine, so it'll actually be good. But the thing is, we're going to talk about that, Lord willing, in the message. And that's a big, important thing, and it's going to help this church. If we all listen to it, including the preacher, it's going to help this church. And praise the Lord. That's exactly right. It's about getting right with God, and there's a formula for it. I know that sounds weird, but bear with me. It's not the same for everybody exactly all the time, but there is a formula for it. We're going to look at that. But yeah, that's true. People get caught. I think a lot of times people get caught in their sin, and they get so far into the sin that the sin has them to the point where their heart won't have a repentant heart to actually get right. So it's not that God won't forgive them, but they won't seek that repentant heart. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had my heart so messed up and hurt and messed up and goofed up that I had to pray God to get my heart right so I could even get right. And then he goes through the steps where he could actually get right. But the Lord does that stuff. So he attacks. So the devil attacks through subtlety. He didn't come up and say, here it is, eat this fruit. He slowly chipped away at her faith. Yea, hath God said? And then when she misquoted the Bible, she's like, oh, misquoted the word. Then she has doubt what she's even saying. So she's doubting herself. And while she's doubting herself, Satan comes in and says, well, yeah, look at this. Look. It's pleasant to the eyes. It's good for food. It'll make you wise. And, the funny thing is, this right here is what destroys people, the desire to make one wise. The whole, I've been blessed with a lot of different preacher friends over the years, most of them have been home, went home to be with the Lord, most of my preacher friends. True, well, I whatever. I've been blessed with some good preacher friends. And I've got friends that are well educated in the Bible, have pieces of paper all over the wall. And I had friends, a couple that went home to be with the Lord that didn't have a piece of paper, they had God on them. I mean, they studied their Bible, and they didn't have the hindrance of this to the degree that a lot of preachers have, to make one wise. Once somebody gets wise, they start knowing things, and that's something we struggle with. The more Bible you know, you have to be careful. Are you wanting to know the Bible, or you want to know the author? And why do you want to know the Bible? Do you want to know it so you can know the author, or do you want to know it so you can show everybody else how wise you are? And that's dangerous. That's dangerous for every single living human being other than Jesus Christ. Solomon couldn't handle it. It destroyed Solomon. The wisdom did. His not applying things right, he took that pride. That pride messed him all up. But it's just amazing how the Word of God, a humble heart, and the power of God can do things. The humble heart allows the power of God to do things. But the humble heart doesn't come easily. Amen. We get the slats kicked out of us every now and again to keep us away from this total poisonous mess here. But the subtlety of the devil was for him to offer it up in stages, for him to chip away at her faith, him to, he knew she didn't know exactly what God said. The devil's not stupid. Don't be ignorant of his devices. He knows. He's smarter than we are. And she misquoted it. She's got some doubt in her mind, and he comes along and he goes, "Here, let me comfort you with this. This thing here is pleasant to the eye." She's like, "Okay, it looks good. Good for food. Oh, that sounds good. My stomach's drunk. I haven't had anything since McDonald's, And that only lasts about 15 minutes. And it can make me wise. I could be like God." So she took it and she ate it. The devil doesn't kick your door off and say, kick your door open and say, "Here, take this." He gradually lures you into sin. But ultimately, you're the one that turns the doorknob. You're the one that makes it. If you're saved, you're the one that makes the decision to finally do it. She made the decision to finally do it. She could have went either way with this. Matter of fact, Adam could have. I always often wondered two things. What if Adam would have said, "You know what? I love her more than anything except you, Lord. I'm not eating that fruit." He goes, "All right, give me another rib. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you another. Give you another chance. Amen. Spare ribs. I'll give you another one. We'll give you another chance." And I also wonder, what would God have done if Adam wouldn't have said, "The woman thou gavest to be with me," and blamed it on God? Because that's really what he did. "The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it." What if he would have said, "You're right, I was wrong"? What if Eve would have said, "You're right, I was wrong"? Well, how would that have played out differently? I don't know. I don't know. Brother, do you have a question? What's he? Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. Look what happened here. The devil is challenging the Word of God in Genesis 3. He knew who Jesus was. But in his pride, I mean, look, you're talking about somebody that's going to come back and surround Jerusalem after a 1,000-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ, knowing he's God for 1,000 years, and try to destroy Jerusalem and God's people. His pride, he thinks he still might have a chance to overthrow God. So that's what he's thinking there. He goes, I got the Word of God here. I'm going to destroy it. And at Jesus' weakest point, the weakest point a human could be at, he survived it with the Word of God. So what's he do to the Lord? He does the same thing. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Well, it worked on Eve, but it's not going to work on the second Adam. He thought, I've been here before. I'll show you what I'll do. I'll mix it up a little bit. It's the same three ingredients. We're going to be a little different. But the same basic ingredients, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. So he said, look, all these things I'll give you. Right? So he's messing with his eyes, lust of the flesh. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Turn those into food for you. You could do that. Wouldn't that be good? And the flesh, I mean, you tell me Jesus Christ, I mean, he wept, he was tired, he cried, he sorrowed. You tell me he wasn't having his stomach wasn't sitting up there growling while the devil's going, hey, turn that into food for you there. You could do that real quick. That stomach growling, you can get rid of that thing. But he hits him with all those, and Jesus Christ says, it is written, it is written, it is written. It is written. Eve didn't say it is written. Adam might have, the first Adam, the second Adam did. And the second Adam expects us to say, it is written. That's the only hope we've got, really, it is written. It is written. Basically, you're going to listen to the words of man, the words of the devil, or the words of God. And the words of God, the words of God should be up here. Words of God, words of man, words of the devil, words of God, always. So that's it for today. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, those are the three ingredients of subtlety right there. And it's not just that he's tricky. He is an expert at it. If you look up that word, I haven't looked it up for years, but if you look it up in the 1828 Webster Dictionary, talks about being cunning, crafty, tricky, excellent, expert, all these things that are hooked to that word subtle. It's not just like low-key, tricky type thing. It's really an expert, and the devil is an expert at presenting those three things to you. So you need to be an expert of reading the Bible.